Makabu Shah Day is the day when the Buddha laid down strategy for propagation of the Dharma. What is the principle of propagation? What to propagate? The conducts of the propagators? What kind of Dharma should be taught? Those of us who work with spreading the Dharma can look into this. It is not difficult to find out about the fundamental teaching. In the past, people could not read, so the monks had to read for them. When people gathered at the temples for sermons, the monks would take out Buddhist scripts and read to them. Nowadays, people can read, so find out by yourself for better understanding. People in the old days tended to see things in terms of superstitions. That Makabucha day was the day that 1,250 enlightened monks gathered without prior appointment. They saw this as a miracle. In a way, this was quite amazing considering that this was the time before mobile phones to call upon one another. But actually a group of 250 enlightened monks, led by Sariputta, were already with the Buddha at that time. And 1,000 ascetics from Goa came as a group led by their leader. Instead of seeing the event as a miracle, I view the event in terms of appropriation, that these monks deemed it appropriate to come and pay homage to the Buddha. The full moon day in the third lunar month was an important day at that time. These monks did not worship any celestial beings. They respected the Buddha and thus came to pay homage to the Buddha. At such big gathering of monks, the Buddha gave the assembly a discourse. This is a normal practice. On important days in the old times, the revered Luang Pumun would give sermons when many monks came to pay homage to him. So this is a normal practice. It can be viewed as a miracle or can be viewed as something normal. I would like you all to look at things in a more normal sense. Buddhists these days become more and more superstitious. In many temples, they build holy images for people to worship. The main purpose is to get donation. When people go to these temples, they do not earn mindfulness or wisdom. This is not worthwhile for being Buddhists. So when you all come here, there is no holy images to worship. You can acquire real Dharma, pay respect to real monks, and discover real monkhood in yourselves. Real monkhood is the goodness in oneself, within one's mind. Good or evil is in your own mind. Study into your own mind, and you will see that the mind is engulfed with defilements. These defilements command our mind to think the way they want. Once they can control our minds, they come out through words and actions. We learn to practice Dharma and study into your own mind. When any defilement appears, we know so. Another defilement appears, we know so. The mind will eventually be released from the power of defilements. The mind will enter monkhood that is virtuous and noble. Real monkhood is here, not in Buddha images, nor in any objects of worship. Our own actions define whether our lives will be good or bad. It has nothing to do with worshipping holy objects. If we are to worship holy spirits and their images, we should pay respect to the goodness in them. Those holy spirits who dwells in Dharma, such as when we worship Brahma, we know that the Dharma for Brahma is the four sublime attitudes. For sublime attitudes is necessary for people in high positions, for leaders and governors. Without four sublime attitudes, people under their leadership would not be happy. Even if we are not in high positions, we can still apply for sublime attitudes in taking care of cats and dogs if we have them. Nowadays, cats have been raised in status and the owners become their slaves. When we take care of our pets, we maintain for sublime attitudes. Some people cry when their dogs die, thus lacking equanimity. You see, Dharma is not with the celestial beings. We worship Brahma. We should learn his Dharma. That is for sublime attitudes. the dwelling place of Brahma, which are loving-kindness, compassion, empathetic joy and equanimity. If we want to worship celestial beings, we should not ask around for blessings, or for money, or for getting pass examinations, or for not being enlisted as a soldier, or any other miscellaneous blessings. If we want to worship statues of celestial beings, we should think about the virtue of the celestial beings, that is moral shame and moral dread, ashamed for evil conducts and dread for the consequence of evil conducts. When we worship Brahma, we should embrace the Dharma from Brahma. When we worship celestial beings, we should embrace the Dharma from the celestial beings. It is important to practice Dharma according to course of practice from the Buddha. We must keep the precepts. We must train the mind. I am not saying that we need to do meditation. I am saying that we need to learn about our own mind. We must keep the precepts. We then have training in higher virtue. We learn about our own minds. We will earn the right concentration. When the mind has right concentration, that is when the mind is upright and has fortitude without force or intention. We must then incline that mind in order to induce insight wisdom. Jhana means wisdom. Inducing wisdom, not wisdom from thinking, but wisdom from seeing. Seeing the body as it is, seeing the mind as it is. We need to elevate ourselves. If we are not able to elevate our mind to Dharma quite yet, we can pay respect to celestial beings or Brahma in order to embrace Dharma from them. Then our minds can be cleaner and somewhat elevated. But if we worship in order to get our wishes fulfilled, we will drift further away from Dharma. We become the follower of Chuchok, keen to ask for things. And that is nonsense. For a while it was a trend to worship Chuchok, but the trend has faded out. Recently, there is a trend to worship the great serpent and Vesavana. The great serpent is not in heaven. Vesavana is in heaven. Name the four great kings. First level of heaven next to human world. In some periods, it was popular to worship Indra. People tend to worship anything including things that are made up. Some people worship Mher Nark Prokonhong, Mher Noon, wife of Panthai Norising. These are fictive characters from novels that people worship. Some worship Ikai. They worship many things, as they do not want to rely on themselves. At many temples, there are many objects. For sales like flowers, candles, incenses, or other sacrificial offerings. When people go to these temples, they do not earn mindfulness nor wisdom. We have the opportunity to visit the temple. We should do so in order to earn mindfulness and true wisdom, not to indulge in superstition. But we cannot really blame those people. Their faculties are still weak, so that is all they could do. They worship celestial beings, or ghosts, that makes them happy and have the courage to face difficulties in lives. From this aspect, it is sympathetic. In the old times when people were unhappy, they could consult with the monks. The monks could give advice, either teach Dharma to people who were able to receive it, or just bless them with holy water if they cannot learn Dharma. Nowadays, it is not certain that people will be happy coming to the temples. They can be asked for donations to build holy objects. It is very difficult to find somewhere that focuses on cultivating Dharma in the mind. If we are wise enough, we should find somewhere that can give us real Dharma. Luang Pu Phan was really great. Our former king once asked Luang Pu Phan, which temple did Luang Pu Phan stay? Luang Pu Phan replied that he stayed at his mind. Keep checking on your own mind in order to attain Dharma. When the mind is evil, sinful, unwholesome, know so. When the mind is full of merit and wholesomeness, know so. Just know and keep observing the mind. When defilements arise and we see them, they will disappear without further action. There is no need to get rid of them. This morning, five former monks came to report on their practices. They had problems about restless mind. What should they do when the mind is restless? The Buddha taught that when the mind is restless, know so. That is what he taught. But we try to think about what we should do. No need to think, just do what the Buddha taught. When the mind is restless, know so. Keep seeing and knowing. When the mind is peaceful, or happy, or unhappy, or greedy, or angry, just know so. Keep knowing and seeing. Then wisdom will eventually arise. One will be able to see that all kinds of minds are subjected to change. All kinds of minds are non-self and cannot be controlled. Learn to practice into the mind. Keep observing. Then we will enter the real temple. Not a temple made of bricks, stones, or wood. Those are external temples. Are they useful? Yes. Their existence is necessary for monks to dwell. Without temples, good monks will not have a chance to practice Dharma. They would have to stay at home, mingling with family, which is a difficult condition to gain delicate peace. It is still possible in early enlightened stages, as the stream enterer or the once returner, but the non-returner has to be free from sensory pleasures. Being at home is being with sensory pleasures, like craving for food. Being secular is not suitable for a higher Dhamma practice. Temples and monks are useful in terms of succession of Buddhism. But if monks and temples do not encourage Dhamma practice, people will not be able to benefit from them as much as they should. Anyhow, we cannot quite blame others, as their level of faculties is still weak. We now have a chance. We should keep checking on our own mind. At the beginning we might not know how, so we can just observe. Each day our mind is never the same. Some days our mind is light and free, other days our mind is stressed. Each day never the same. If we can see this, we can then look further. Within the course of the day, in the morning, late morning, afternoon, evening, late at night, our mind is not the same. On a work day, we might get up and feel lazy. On a weekend, we get up as normal and realize that it is a weekend. We feel lazy also. On a weekday, we feel lazy from going to work. On weekend, we feel lazy from getting up, still enjoying tossing around in bed. Just read your own mind. When bad feelings arise, do not try to get rid of it. There is no need to discard it. Good or bad feelings, both show the three characteristics: impermanence, suffering, non-selfhood all the same. Whether we could see the three characteristics or not, when good feelings arise, such as we want to make merit and give food to the monks, and we do not know that our mind is wholesome, this is not good practice. It is not me who said this, the Buddha said. If the mind is wholesome, but one does not know that the mind is wholesome, this is not good practice. If our mind is unwholesome, like feeling lazy, and we know that the mind is unwholesome, this is good practice. Therefore, good or bad practice depends on whether we know the state of our mind or not. Keep knowing and seeing, and insight wisdom will arise. In the beginning, there will be just perception, that is seeing, seeing movement of the body and the mind. Eventually, insight wisdom will arise as a sequence of knowing, seeing, right view, seeing the three characteristics of the body, seeing the three characteristics of the mind. Wisdom will arise as we realize that the body and the mind fall under the three characteristics. This is insight wisdom, wisdom that arises from seeing the body and the mind as they are. Not from seeing other things, but from seeing one's body and mind. If we are really proficient, we will be able to see both internal or external objects as effectively. But the master's advised not to observe external objects, because that can lead to high risks. If your mind is weak, you might have desire when you see a beautiful woman. You keep your eyes on her, walk after her, ask for her phone number or line ID or Facebook or Instagram contact. You become restless. This is not good because you do not see yourself. But if you see a beautiful woman, your mind likes her, and you know so. This is okay. We do not practice just at home or in a cave. We can practice anywhere. Just be mindful and be aware of your own mind. Keep observing the mind, and we will see. If we have a thermometer measuring temperature outside, we will see constant change all day long. We should have a thermometer to check our own mind. We will see that the mind keeps changing all day. In the morning, we feel certain ways, late morning, or afternoon, or evening, or at night the mind keeps changing. Some people do not want to sleep at night. They still want to do or play something until late, and they have difficulty getting up in the morning. We should have discipline. If not, it will be difficult to practice. We need self-discipline. When it is time to get up, we get up. When it is time to rest, we rest. And keep observing our own mind. In the beginning, we may see that the mind is different each day. Later on, we will see that. The mind keeps changing throughout the day. Never the same. Once we are more advanced in our practice, our mindfulness will be quicker. We will be able to see that our mind is not the same in each mental moment. No need to see the change every hour or every 3 hours. We will see that our mind changes every time there is a sensory contact. The mind changes when the eyes see forms, the ears hear sound, the nose smells odor, the tongue receives taste, the body is in contact with something, or when thoughts arise in the mind. This means that we are advanced in the practice. We are able to read our own mind quickly, as quick as each moment. We do not need to refer to moments as defined by those who study higher doctrine. For them, the mind arises and falls almost countless of times within a snap of a finger. That is just imagination. Now it is possible to measure how long it takes for the mind to arise for sensory contact. I do not quite remember, but it is less than a second. Not countless of mental moments in a snap. That is more like how they count in India, where they prefer large numbers. The moment I am talking about is not each mental moment, but moment that the eyes see something and the mind changes. When the ears hear something and the mind changes. When there is contact and we can see the change. Those who study higher doctrine call this process of cognition. The eyes see forms, sensory contact occurs through the eyes. Then a signal is sent to the mind. Then there is interpretation and judging. Then there is a decision, whether this is to like or not to like. Whether to be happy or unhappy. To be wholesome or unwholesome. This is the process. We do not need to know in details. Very few people can see this. If our mindfulness is not quick enough, we cannot see this. Just learn that when our eyes see, observe the change of our feelings. This is enough to know. When we hear something, such as when someone called us by our father's name, we get angry. Then we turn and see that it is our good friend, whom we also call by his father's name. We do not even remember his real name. We used to call each other by our father's names. When we see this friend, from being angry, we become glad. We are happy to see our friend. Our mind keeps changing in each moment. When the eyes see, the mind changes. When the ears hear, or the nose smells, or the tongue tastes something, or the body comes into contact with something, or the mind comes into contact with thoughts, our mind changes. Just keep seeing these changes, and do not try to control the contacts. We cannot control what the eyes will see, what the ears will hear, or what the mind will feel. Those are karmic results. We cannot control whether we will see pleasant or unpleasant sights, hear pleasant or unpleasant sounds, or what we will think about. These are not under our command. Once there is a contact, our mind starts working. This is in the present moment. The contact itself, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is a karmic result and is not important. When our mind changes after any contact, we must be mindful and aware. This is creating good karma in the present moment. This is the most important part. Present moment is most important. Have you heard? The present moment is the most important. We just hear it from philosophical point of view. The past has gone. The future has not yet arrived. The most important moment is now. But where is this now? We do not see it. Now is not this year, past is not last year, and future is not next year. Time span for now is not that wide. Check on your own mind. When the eyes see forms, our mind changes, and we see the change as it happens. This is now. Now is not how the mind is today compared to the mind yesterday. This is just thinking, not seeing. This is not perception, not inducing insight wisdom. This is just thinking that yesterday and today the mind is not the same. So it is impermanent. This is not insight practice. Insight comes from perception, from seeing forms and seeing formless phenomena as they are. What are they? They possess the three characteristics. When the eyes see pleasant forms, the mind becomes happy. Craving arises in the mind, and we are aware of it. This means that we know in the present moment. When the ears hear something, the mind becomes unhappy. Anger arises in the mind, and we are aware of it. This means that we know when it happens. When sorrow arises, we know so. When anger arises, we know so. This is knowing in the present moment. Keep checking on our mind. The mind is in constant change. We do not need to keep it still. The mind keeps changing and moving. So let it change and move. Just be mindful and keep observing. Eventually wisdom will occur. We will know that all types of minds arise and fall. Whether a mind is happy, unhappy, good, or evil, it will arise and fall all the same. In the beginning, we will see each type of mind arises and falls. Upon the process enlightenment, all-round wisdom will occur, which enables us to see that all types of minds arise and fall. Not just each type that arises and falls us, when we see when practice, but all types of minds arise and fall. Learn to check on your mind and observe. Then we will gain something good and precious that cannot be acquired by asking from other people. We cannot ask for understanding from other people. It is something you earn through your own practice. When I studied Dharma with Luang Pu Dun, the first keyword he gave me was read your own mind. The introduction to his message was, practicing Dharma is not difficult. The difficulty lies upon those who do not practice. That was a message of encouragement. Then he proceeded to say, you have read many books. From now, read your own mind. The last part was his key message to me. What I learned from Luang Pu Dun was read your own mind. I then started to read my own mind. How so? Just like what I have told you all. I observed my mind all day long, from waking up until going to sleep. It did not take long until wisdom arised. I saw rise and fall of happy mind, rise and fall of unhappy mind. rise and fall of whatever type of mind that I came across. There is no basis of selfhood in them. Just practice this way, and it will be worthwhile as real Buddhists. Today my sermon is quick and short. Put it to practice. Luang Pudun gave me even shorter instruction. Only one sentence. Read your own mind. I already explained in great details how to read your own mind. So put it to practice. If you manage to do this, you will attain the core of Dharma. Otherwise, the mind will get stuck in the cycle of birth and death for a long time. Suffering over and over again, dying over and over again. Not everyone will attain enlightenment soon or within this lifetime. It all depends on our accumulated merits and faculties. How much we had accumulated. People who have practiced a lot from before will be able to advance quickly. Those who had not practiced a lot would need longer to accumulate. It is fair. The law of karma is always fair. Number one,
I am able to separate the aggregates and see them work in a more normal way. I can see that the body and the mind is not me. But I still cling on to them tightly, especially clinging to the good mind. I can see pride and ego very clearly. All the defilements are still there, but they seem to be smaller. Could you please give advice for further practice?
When you have defilements and you see them, it means that you are mindful. Keep practicing mindfulness. Not like this. Do not incline the mind inwards as if intoxicated. Do not do this. Be aware when you meditate. Do not make the mind drowsy. Be aware and mindful. Wake up and come out to the real world, not being excited or alert, but do not make the mind drowsy either. Keep being aware. Good. You practice is decent. Number two,
I am still partial about my defilements. I could see that I am self-centered. The weakness I see is craving for sensory objects and enjoying comfort. My concentration is not enough, and my mind is not yet strong. Sometimes when I help people in my family, I do not place the mind correctly, making myself sad. Could you please give advice?
Starting with your family, study the four sublime attitudes. Taking care of family needs for sublime attitudes. Some people take care of their parents, such as a stubborn father who refuses to remember anything. We might feel that our father is so stubborn and would not listen to us. We need to understand that people in our family are also human beings, with their own thoughts, needs, and attitudes. Help with what you can, and then keep equanimity. Like me, I do not think that. I must assist my father and mother until they reach enlightenment within this lifetime. Everyone has their own time and needs to do their own practice. Keep your mind equanimous. As for your practice, it is good that you can see many things, but your mind is still very distracted. Do not leave out home base for the mind. You can meditate using Budo chanting. Student number two, if you are focusing in on the breath, you will get used to keeping it still. Just chant Budo. Or if this is too short, you can try Budo Damo Sonko. If this is still too short, you can try Budo Arahong Damo Arahong Sonko Arahong, or whatever you prefer. If you do not want to repeat what others say, you can also make up chanting phrase yourself. Whatever you are comfortable with, then stay with your chanting. If you start to control your mind, know so. If your mind gets drifted away while chanting, know so. By focusing in on breathing, you are accustomed to make the mind drowsy.
Number three. As for formal practice, I pray and meditate every day. In daily life, I watch the body breathing. When the mind drifts away, I could see it, and the thoughts disappear. I then come back to observing the body breathing. I am more aware when my mind drifts away. I could see suffering arises and falls. I could see the want to get rid of suffering. I could see that I want to be good, or when I overfocus, I suffer less and become less angry. I am better at keeping the precepts. I feel more distant to the world, and my practice is better. Could you please kindly advise?
Keep practicing. You're practicing correctly. But there is a little control of the mind. Do you feel it right now? Let go of it. Do not keep it still. Let it work naturally and keep being mindful and observe. Good practice. In practicing, we need to have home base for the mind. While developing mindfulness or wisdom, do not abandon home base for the mind. Otherwise, the mind will wander off. We just stay casually at our home base. Do not overfocus or get stressed. Student number 3, your practice is a little tight. Maybe you get uneasy because you are speaking to me. In your normal state, it is good. Keep practicing, you are doing it correctly. Number 4,
I practice according to your instructions. Breathing is my home base for the mind. I could see the body and the mind separated. Sometimes I see the rise of the mind, but I do not quite see the fall. Every time the knowing mind arises, the mind will come back to stay with breathing. Is this the natural behavior of the mind, or did I pull the mind towards my breathing?
If we pull the mind towards breathing, the mind will be tight and heavy. But if the mind comes back by itself, it will not be heavy or tight. This is how we notice it. Once forced, the mind will be tight. Right here and now you are forcing, so the mind gets a little tight. Let it go, can you? Here there is another type of forcing to let go. Your mind tends to stay still. Do you feel it? Still stuck with some stillness. This one derives from desire to be good, and desire to practice. Thus keeping the mind still. Just be aware of the mind filled with desire. If there is a desire to practice, just know so. Once you know, the mind will stop wanting and get released from staying still. Do not try to fix the mind. Some people have very fixated mind and try to fix it. The more you fix, the more complicated it will get. There is no need to fix. This is just a result. The suffering is just a result. The result is to be known, but not to get rid of. We need to alter the cause. The cause, the desire to practice. To know, to see, to be, to gain, to be good. All of these force the mind. If we could see the cause, then the cause would disappear. And hence no more forcing. Good. Your mind was good a moment ago. Do you realize it was the state with no force? But now you are back to controlling it. Number 5.
I practice breath mindfulness meditation. My mind gets lost in thinking all day and all night. Between thoughts, my mind would automatically chant Budo in short periods, then back to getting lost in thinking again. In daily life, I have awareness every once in a while. Sometimes the mind becomes luminous, happy, bright, and peaceful. Sometimes the mind struggles all day and all night. But when I see the non-self of those things, my mind ceases to struggle. What should I do to improve?
Do not change anything. Just keep knowing and seeing in the aspect of non-self. Your mind has intellectual wisdom. So you should see in terms of non-self. The other two characteristics would not work on you. Only non-self would work on you. Whatever arises, see the non-self aspect of it. Do not think, but see. Student number 5 practices well, so keep practicing. But your mind is somewhat off-based. Can you see that? Right now it is off-based. It stays outside on the screen. Number 6.
I work as a planner that requires a lot of thinking. I am stressed and suffer from my job. As for formal practice, I do breath mindfulness meditation along with chanting Budo. During the day I listen to your teaching while I drive, and I watch my mind during breaks from work. Some days my practice goes well. I could see separation of the aggregates. But mostly I am restless with blurry mind. There is something that stays still inside and would not go away. Could you please give advice for my practice?
When we have to think a lot, we do not have to watch the mind. We can watch the body. You see, the body never thinks too much. Do you feel it? The body is neutral without thoughts, and it never says that it is us. When we see this, our mind will calm down and gain momentum. Eventually, you will be able to see the mind easily. When we are deep in thinking about work and our head is in the spin, we cannot watch the mind, just watch the body. Now you are lost, student number 6. Do you realize that? Do not force, you are still forcing. Are you lost, student number 6? Did you see that? A little slip. Here you are lost again, lost into thinking. When you are lost, just know so. If we want to watch the mind needs to have enough concentration. Otherwise it will be blurry, which is difficult to see. When your mind is blurry and you cannot see the mind, just see the body instead. Seeing that the body is not us, it is empty. There is no us anywhere. The body never says that it is us. See and feel it. The mind will soon gain momentum, and you can then watch the mind. If the mind has no strength, and you try to see the mind, it will get even more restless. Just know casually. Number 7.
I meditate about 2 hours daily, seeing whatever phenomena that arises, as well as sensorial contacts that occur and disappear. Each day I experience different states. Some days I get distracted. Other days I tremble with tears just when a sound disappears. I have few hindrances. I feel that my mind becomes more joyful. I am sensitive with wholesomeness and unwholesomeness. I understand people more. During the day I am still lost often and in long periods. Could you please advise the way to cross over the round of rebirth without prolonged delay?
Your mind is still a little weak. Emotions can still easily overwhelm your mind. When joy arises, just know so. Do not let it overwhelm you. The mind needs to be strong. If it is too weak, it can be overwhelmed with either good or bad emotions. For example, some people are overwhelmed with goodwill such as faith. In deep faith, they donate all their money to the monks. This is under the influence of goodwill, and it is not good. One should be oneself, be strong. Your mind is too weak, build up the strength of your mind. In this path, crossing the round of rebirth, we have to be strong. Just like the story of Mahayanaka who swam in the ocean. He was strong-minded. If he was weak, he would have drowned. When your mind is weak, think of Mahayanaka. He has a lot of mental strength. We must not give up. Your mind is a little weak. Fight until the end. Number 8.
I practice by sending out loving kindness, with Itipi Saw chanting and watching the mind. I try to find time to practice all day. I have strong anger. When I see a slow car, I get agitated and frustrated. I see the bad in myself. I see suffering. I am tired of suffering. But I still do not want to let go. I still think of death. And I am afraid of separation from someone or something. I can still not accept aging wrinkles. I still get stuck in some states. Could you please advise?
We cannot achieve as quickly as we wish. Dharma practice is a long-term practice. Just keep fighting. Keep walking forward every day. Do not hurry and then quit. That is not good. Keep practicing every day and be patient. Student number 8 is very impatient and wants quick results. Just know so. This one comes from desire. When desire arises and we do not get what we want, we become angry and agitated. Do you feel that? Do not expect quick results. No one can demand the mind to get enlightened quickly. Focus rather on the course. Keep the precepts, practice meditation, accumulate wisdom. Keep practicing until the cause is fulfilled. Then the results will unfold. You want the results and become frustrated. There is no way to get the result you want. Be patient, you are too impatient. My sermon wraps up for today. I know why my sermon is quick today. There is another sermon in the evening, so I try to conserve my energy automatically. There is a little time left. Let me take a look at those sitting in the hall. When I said I would look at you all, did you feel that your mind changed? You see, when the ears hear the sound, which is converted into meanings, the mind changes. When I say something, if you are absent-minded, it is as if you have no ears. The mind already wanders off somewhere else, so the mind does not change upon hearing. Keep checking on the mind. It changes all the time, with every moment of sensory contact. I would like to use the word while in contact, rather than mental moment. Mental moment is only theoretical. In practice, no one can measure it. You see, the mind changes again. Now it becomes more calm. Now that I keep talking, you all think I would not check on you anymore. Your mind changes again. Keep checking this way. Do it all day long. If you cannot do it well, keep doing even more. I do not want to say much, but your faculties are not strong enough. Your merit is not strong enough. Just keep practicing. One day, it will be strong. Those who can do well quickly, they have accumulated their course.